Welcome to Where the Rubber Meets the Road with Pastor A.J. Warner, brought to you by His Will Ministry. Our aim is to encourage you in the Word of God and to bring Pastor's anointed teaching and to show you the hope we have in Jesus Christ. Let us know how the Lord is using this program to bless you. We pray that you will draw nearer to the Lord through Pastor's teaching and preaching, and that you will build up in the body of Christ. This radio program is only one of our many outreaches. We appreciate the opportunity to encourage you in your walk with Jesus. To learn more about His Will Ministry, visit us on the World Wide Web at HisWillMinistry.org.
The Lord had been driving me to fast for a long time. And you can tell by just looking at me, I'm not one of those people that like to fast. You know, I like to eat. And of course, when I start to fast, it's the ultimate sacrifice for me. My wife, it was so funny, I told her, well, I'm going to fast because the Lord's driving me and it'll help me get a kickstart on losing my weight. Well, God's sense of humor is so good. 2 days after I start the fast, she gets her magazine and reads in it. She says, you know, they've statistically found that if you fast to lose weight, you will gain it back faster, and then no other diet will work. And God's way of saying, I didn't call you, Jay, to fast because I wanted you to lose weight. I called you to fast for something else. And one of the things He was trying to show me is about a fear of the Lord. When we look back in the Old Testament, we see that, I mean, when God showed up, people had a fear. I mean, it's just like we were talking a couple of weeks ago when I was here about the Old Testament for children. If they didn't follow the mother and father, God gave you permission to stone them to death. You know, that would put a holy fear of God in you. When God got mad at the Israelites, when they were crossing the wilderness, God got mad at them, and within the time it took Aaron to run from Moses' side to the temple, fill the censer with incense, and run all the way out in front of the children of Israel and stop the plague, 17,000 people died. Now, Aaron wasn't that old. So you can imagine it was not a long, you know, it didn't take Aaron hours or days to run over to the temple, grab the altar of incense, put incense in it, and head back out into the crowd. It didn't take Aaron days. It took him probably a few minutes. But within that few minutes, 17,000 people died. I once said in a sermon I was preaching, I was talking, and I said, what would happen if we lived in the New Testament age in our churches today? What would happen if every time we stole from God, because Malachi says if we don't tithe, we are stealing from God. If every time we told a little white lie, or every time we didn't do what God told us in His quiet voice, what would happen to the church body today if what happened to Ananias and Sapphira? What would happen? I mean, if someone came forward in the church and was singing hymns and doing something that was against God, but pretending they were glorifying God, and the power of God came down and zapped, they were laying on the floor dead, not out in the spirit dead, would the church fill up today like it did during the New Testament? Yeah, well, that's probably right. There probably wouldn't be anybody alive. Wait. Yeah. So now we know what happened. But, or would it be that everyone in the church would no longer come? Which would we do? Would we seek the Lord in His holiness? Would we become fearful with a holy fear of God? Or would we run away from God? If we look in Acts chapter 9, let's go to Acts chapter 9, and this is after Paul has been converted by God, because Paul at that point was basically the devil's advocate, because he was trying to kill every Christian. I always love how God's sense of humor works. Satan convinces Saul that Christianity is the most horrible thing in the world. Saul decides it's his one sole purpose in life to go out and eliminate Christianity. And what does God do? He says, hey, I'm going to use him for my side. And when you think about how long did it take them to accept him? Even though he probably had the glow of the Spirit on him, even though he was preaching Jesus, you know all the Christians were like, nah, this is a ploy. This can't be. We limit God so much. But in Acts chapter 9, verse 31, it says, then had the churches rest throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria, and were edified, walking in the fear of the Lord, and in the comfort of the Holy Ghost were multiplied. Now, I kind of always wondered until the last couple of weeks what God always meant by that. About, you know, I'm stubborn. You guys know me well enough to know that I can be stubborn towards the Lord sometimes. And what? Back in mid-October, so it was a month ago, I was just studying and the Lord said to me, I want you to read Proverbs and I want you to notice something. Well, what did I notice in Proverbs? Because I had been studying about healing, I went through the whole book of Proverbs and underlined every promise where God said He gave us life. Well, I didn't bother to notice that most of those were associated with the fear of the Lord. And God then kept saying, okay, I guess the only way I'm going to get your attention is get to your stomach and get you off food. So he drove me to a fast. And in the middle of the fast, he basically spoke to me about the need of us as Christians, and even myself, he was trying to get to me, of the fear of the Lord that they used to have. You look right here and it says, they had rest throughout all of Judea, Galilee, and Samaria, and were edified, walking in the fear of the Lord, and the comfort of the Holy Ghost were multiplied. Now, if the fear of the Lord was not something that was important to you and I as Christians, would it even be mentioned there? He would say, oh, Paul had been converted, so all the churches were multiplying in the comfort of the Holy Spirit. But he even puts the fear of the Lord before the comfort of the Holy Spirit. Why is that? Why is that? God was showing me, and has been showing me for a while, that there is, in the fear of the Lord, and I'm not just saying, oh, I fear the Lord, I got to go to work. I'm talking about the fear of the Lord that God put into people that He saw. Look at David. Even though David fell like a man, when David was at his lowest spot, when he was at his absolute lowest because he had numbered the Israelites. And what does it say about it? It says, Satan put it in his mind to number the Israelites. In other words, he didn't keep his eye on the Lord. But when the time for punishment came, what did David say? I'd rather have 3 days of punishment from the Lord, because I know He's fair and just, than I would from man or the world or my enemy. And what happened? God is so fair and just, when He saw David repent, fall on his face and beg for God to stop the punishment, God did, didn't it? And the words that the Bible uses there in Hebrew is God repented of His anger. God felt sorrow in his heart for his anger, and he stopped the punishment. Even though he told David, you're going to get this length right here. This is what you're going to get. And David said, I'd much rather have that. But we don't have that fear of the Lord, do we? Let's look in 2 Chronicles. Let me see. 2 Chronicles 19:7. 2 Chronicles 19:7. And see what it says about the fear of the Lord. I really like this because the way the King James puts it is kind of blunt. 19:7. Wherefore now, let the fear of the Lord be upon you. Take heed and do it. For there is no iniquity within the Lord our God, nor respecter of persons, nor taking of gifts. So the King James is kind of blunt. It says, now let the fear of the Lord be upon you. And what does it say? Listen and do it. It doesn't say it's something you should consider. It says, listen and do it. And why does he say that? He says, because there's no inquiry, nor respect of persons, nor taking of gifts. In other words, you can't bribe God. God isn't going to come to you and say, Mary, you've been good this week, you don't need to fear me. God isn't going to respect that human. He isn't going to be bribed. It's just a simple thing. Do it. The question is, how do we really fear the Lord? What does it mean to fear the Lord? We're told that God is a God of love. We're told that Jesus came because He loved us. We're told love, love, love. We're told so much about love now that we have religious organizations saying, God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son, so homosexuals can be ordained in the church. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son that bigots will go to heaven with their hatred. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son so that your sins can continue, but you'll be in heaven with Him. You go out and do a survey of Evanston, and I'll bet you it'll be like the rest of the world. You'll find that most of the people in Evanston will say, yeah, there's a heaven, and I'm going to go there because I'm a good person. But I don't really think there's a hell except, oh, probably for those really bad people that murder and do things like that. The average person doesn't want to think of hell. The average person thinks they're good enough for heaven. But God said, wherefore now fear the Lord, listen and do it. You can't say to me, you fear the Lord if you don't live a godly life. You can't say to me, you don't fear the Lord if you don't give Him His tenth, which He says in the Bible is mine. I have declared the tenth holy. If you don't tithe that first tenth, you can't tell me you fear the Lord. If you don't go to this Word on a daily basis and go to Him and have conversation and prayer, you don't fear the Lord the way you should. You may fear Him, but you don't fear Him the way you should. The way we should fear the Lord is we should realize that God created everything that we have, everything we see, everything our life exists in was created by God. And the way we should fear Him is realize that God has the power in a blink of our eyes for it to cease. Just like Ananias, who lied before the Holy Spirit, instantly was gone. Just like Ananias' wife was gone, God could do that to us if He wanted to. He chooses not to, but He still has the power to do that to you and I. And we don't have that fear of God. You can't say that the world today has that fear of God. We're afraid to stand up for what's right. More and more and more religious organizations are saying that Harry Potter is not bad. Harry Potter is straight from the depths of hell. I've got on my desk, or actually probably in my briefcase, a letter from a person that was a witch in the 60s. And the names that come out of Harry Potter, the five names that are mentioned in there of the demons, are real demons. Those things are not of God. And if we're saying that Harry Potter's of God, or we're saying that the Holy Spirit is doing a new thing. That's the latest buzzword among groups. The Holy Spirit's doing a new thing. He's teaching us to embrace everyone. We don't fear the wrath of God. And we can read the Bible. We know what the ending is. God has set things in course. God has set things in order. God has set them to come to this point. And we're not going to stop it. No matter how much we fear God, no matter how much we love God, no matter how many people we bring into the kingdom, we can't stop that point from happening. But which side of that point do we want to be on? Do we want to be that group that fears God with all our heart, all our soul, all our might, all our lives, so that when we get to that end, when we see the clouds part and the Lord come, His arms are open and say, "Welcome, good and faithful servant"? Or do we want to see those clouds, those hands, and we're still, our feet are firmly planted on the ground? They're not planted in heaven. I could be wrong, and I may be wrong. I have no leading on the Lord, but I know one pastor, and I think he had a prophetic view in. He said, "The rapture is for the workers." He said, "The rapture is for those that are working for the Lord and willing to sacrifice their lives." And I don't know whether it is or not, but it sure makes sense to me. Because that's a gift. That's a special gift to take the church out before they have to suffer. And you give those people that love you and fear you that gift. And see, if we don't work on a daily basis for the Lord, we don't fear Him. Does everything we do in our lives have one goal? Eternity. Think about it. You live, if you're lucky, and I'm going to give you some promises that come from the fear of the Lord. But if you're lucky, you're going to live beyond the 77 years by the world standards. You're going to live to 80 or 90. But in that 77 years of your life, and every person that's in here at your age, look back. How much of that has had the goal of eternity? I can honestly tell you, I'm 49 years old. And I can honestly tell you, I can't say even 50% of my life so far has had the goal of eternity. But that's what it should be, 100%. Of everything we do, every step we take, from the moment we tell Jesus, "I'm yours," should be for eternity. Because we know that where we live right now is nothing. It's a little teeny zip in the grand scheme. I don't care if you're sick. I don't care if you're poor. I don't care if you're having problems in your marriage. I don't care if your kids are a pain. Whatever it is, it's a zip compared to eternity. It's a little imp. We hear people, I mean, right now the ministry processes probably 40 to 100 prayer requests a day. I mean, since August, we've run well over 4,000 prayer requests that come in. And Mary and I pray over every one of them. It almost consumes us some days. But it gives you an insight into what the world thinks. There's so many of them that don't seem to fear the Lord at all. Many of them don't even know the Lord. I believe they just found our prayer lines and are desperately seeking help. But they still need prayer. They still need love. They still need some man or woman of God to come to them. But if those men and women of God don't fear God with all of their hearts and souls. Let's look at the apostles. Go to Corinthians, 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians, I don't remember, 5. Let's go to 2 Corinthians 5 and just look at how the apostles looked at it. And this is the way that you and I should. Let's start in verse 10. "For We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone that may receive the things done in his body according to that he has done, whether good or bad. Knowing therefore the terror, if you got the King James, that's what it says. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men that we are not, but we are made manifest unto God, and I trust also are made manifest in your consciences. Now you understand what Paul is saying there? The Greek word where fear of the Lord occurs in the New Testament means a terrible, awesome fear, a burden. And Paul is saying that I know that everyone is going to stand before Christ at the judgment seat. And he is going to be judged by the things that he did in the body, meaning he's going to be judged by what he did while he lived. Now, many of the groups will get to you and say, that proves work saves. It doesn't say work saves. It says we will be judged by what we did in the body, whether good or bad. Not what works we did. What we did in the body while we're good or bad. And he says, for this reason, we in the terror, the fear of the Lord proclaim the gospel. What reason? Is he talking about the reason of Joe down here that is going to go to hell because he doesn't know Jesus? No, Paul's talking from a personal thing here. He's saying, I fear God because one day I'm going to stand before Him and He's going to say to me, Paul, you knew Joe, but you never told him about me. See, that's what Paul fears there. You knew Joe, but you didn't tell him about me. If we have neighbors that don't know Jesus because we haven't told them, we don't fear the Lord. Think about it. Who do you fear more, man or the Lord? And if you've got friends and you've got neighbors and you've got people you work with that you haven't told about Jesus, you fear them more than you fear God. And God doesn't like that. Think about it. See, I never thought about it that way until God started beating on my head. I always ask Him, bring people to me, Lord, that I can tell you about Jesus. My wife zaps me. I love her, but she zaps me. I was talking to some friends the other day, and I started talking to them about how we'd never bought anything. And I always tell everybody, well, we haven't bought anything in Pinedale because every time we try, the Lord doesn't want us to. He hasn't let us settle down. It opens a good door to start preaching Jesus. I didn't say that for some reason. I get back in the car and she's like, hey, you could have witnessed to him about Jesus. You know, she's bold, just slap right across the side of the face. You could have witnessed to him about Jesus. Well, you know, after I stretched myself back out after being quarter inch tall on the front seat of the Jeep, I felt a little better, but she was right. Who did I fear more at that moment? For some strange reason, I must have feared their thoughts about who I was more than I feared what my God thought about me and what I thought about Him. See, this is the way we have to look at the fear of the Lord. Paul, Silas, Peter, the disciples, they had no fear. I mean, they had Pentecost, power of the Spirit came down on them. They were just dancing. They were having a good time. They were enjoying life. And they stepped outside and said, hey, this is Jesus. This is what was predicted by the one you crucified. You know, it takes a lot of guts to stand up in front of the religious organization of the day and say, you hypocrites, crucified Jesus. Look at the life of Stephen. Stephen is a book in the Bible. I mean, out of Moses and out of Paul and Peter, and Stephen gets this little teeny, just, you know, But he was a great man. Why? Who did he fear? God. More than anything else in the world, he had a fear of the Lord. He stood in front of the religious leaders of the day. He gave them enough of their history to make them realize he knew what he was talking about. And then the power of the Spirit came upon him. And I mean, he had a captive audience. He could have just kept going and preached to them. But what did he do? He said, "You hypocrites. You evil generation. I'm paraphrasing. You perverts. You killed the Messiah." So, you know, that's not a way to influence friends. It's just not. You know, you just don't go up to the sheriff when he pulls you over and start saying, "You hypocrite. I saw you doing 60 the other day. What are you doing giving me a ticket for 45? You just don't influence friends that way. We know that because what happened to him? He got stoned to death. But did you notice one thing? He wasn't in pain. He wasn't hurting. He said to the Lord God, "Forgive them, they know not what they do." And he said, "I see heaven open and the Lord standing at the right hand." You ever wondered why God was standing? Because the first martyr was coming home. Jesus was standing, ready to have open arms and say, "Welcome home, my son, good and faithful servant." He was standing because he knew the first martyr was coming home. He was standing because he knew it was just the beginning and his heart was broken. He was standing because that young man feared the Lord God. My wife was reading a story the other day about a missionary. And we never fully understood it, so God opened our eyes. But how this missionary was tortured. And she refused to stop singing and praising God. They raped her. She sang and praised God. They beat her. She sang and praised God. They finally cut her tongue out to shut her up from singing hymns and praising God. And she started humming hymns. And all the time, all the witnesses said that it is as if she never felt the pain. It is as if she didn't hurt. She just had that glow on her face until the moment she went to the Lord. And we thought, how about that? If somebody started torturing me, could I do that? My instinct as a human being would be to fight back, would be to say something else. But here we see Stephen. Here we see her. Did she see the same thing he did? Did she see heaven open up and Jesus standing there? Or did she realize that these people couldn't do anything to her because she had eternity with him? And she feared the Lord more than she feared man. See, if we fear God more than man, this world would be saved right now. Judge Moore wouldn't have been fired, and the Ten Commandments wouldn't have been taken out of that courthouse. Because as Christians, if we feared the wrath of God more than we feared the wrath of man, there would have been 100,000 Christians surrounding that courthouse, and there wouldn't have been a police force in the world that could have moved them. And the courts would have been forced to say, "We're better off to leave them." Just like what did they say in the Jewish council? They said, "If it is of man, it will die, but if it's of God, we can't change it." And that's what they would have said about Judge Moore's Ten Commandments. He would still be a judge, the Ten Commandments would be in the courthouse, and God would be standing up there saying, "Look at those good, faithful servants." But instead, the prosecuting attorney, which he probably wasn't prosecuting because it was a lawsuit, but the attorney to get rid of the Ten Commandments said in court, "Where were all the Christians if this is so important to them?" Because none of them were in court when we had this trial.
Thanks for tuning in to Where the Rubber Meets the Road. This program was brought to you by His Will Ministry. His Will Ministry is a worldwide evangelistic outreach ministry that is dedicated to doing the works that Jesus has called us to do in His name and for His glory. We hope that you are blessed by today's broadcast and that you will visit us on the web at HisWillMinistry.org or write to us at His Will Ministry, Post Office Box 1933, Pinedale, Wyoming 82941. I'm Mary Warner, the prayer team supervisor for His Will Ministry. Wishing you a wonderful day serving Christ Jesus. Please feel free to copy and distribute today's message, and we wish you a blessed day.